flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. You got WEEI afternoons coming your way at 2 o'clock. Fitzy, Hart, and of course, Ted Johnson as well comes your way at 2. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We're looking ahead to championship weekend in the NFL. Thoughts, predictions. A lot of Patriots fans nervous about Patrick Mahomes breathing down Tom Brady's neck. The Chiefs breathing down the Patriots' necks. And for more on this, we welcome in former Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman. He's here courtesy of Bet Online. You can check out Bet Online for AFC and NFC title game lines and props, Super Bowl futures, and look ahead lines for all potential Super Bowl matchups. Sean Merriman, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. We're doing great. We wanted to get to these championship game matchups, but just the big news in New England, first of all, this week is Josh McDaniels back for a third stint as play caller of the New England Patriots. You went against those offenses back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s. The personnel is different, but what do you think of the hire, and what sort of challenges did his offense present to you guys?
I always thought that Josh McDaniels was a good coordinator, offensive coordinator, no doubt. I mean, I said that back when we played against him. I said that, you know, anytime he was in those positions. I didn't think much of him doing as a head coach. And there's no shot at him. It's just there's different qualities, different things you have to do, and the temperament you have to have as a coordinator as in running a team, right? When you're head coach, you kind of got to be the manager of players, coaches, personalities, attitudes. I mean, you become more of a manager than anything else, but there's no doubt as his offensive mind, he's always been really good when it comes to that.
What do you think of his chances having success without Tom Brady? Because he's tried it a few times. A couple seasons he was all right without Brady, but for the most part it's kind of struggled when he's had other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think you mean as far as the Patriots quarterback position?
Well, no, just Josh McDaniels getting the most out of an offense when he doesn't have Tom Brady making the decisions.
Yeah, first of all, I think Drake May can go. I think he can play extremely well. I think he's been put in some bad positions last year. There's nothing against Mayo at all. I think, by the way, I think that Mayo should have another opportunity. It's just hard to pass up a Mike Vrabel when he's on the market, especially if he's visiting the Jets. The last thing you want to do is coach against Mike Vrabel in the division. That's one thing. So there's no shot to Mayo. But also, too, I think that May is put in some bad positions last year. I think the kid can absolutely play, and I think Josh McDaniels is going to bring out the most of him. He's going to realize what he got there and push him and challenge him just like he did with Tom Brady. I mean, I remember, you know, even back when we played, the back and forth that he would have, and it was a mutual respect that I think that he's going to bring to Drake May's game and take it to the next level.
One thing I know you didn't respect about the Patriots was the lights out dance they did to mock you after the divisional round in 06. You mentioned Vrabel. Was Vrabel one of those guys?
It was
Troy Brown. Who were those guys?
No, they all did it, but I got a picture of Vrabel doing it. I joke around with him, and I think he was a hell of a player. I always believe he was super smart as a player. But I think he's going to end up being a better coach than he was a player, because he was just so smart. And he still brings that level of toughness to a lot of these guys, especially this day and age. Again, you need a tough coach. You need somebody that's going to be disciplined. And also respect it, man. It's such a big deal to have a respect level as a coach and also be able to relate to them. When you can relate to a guy and he respects you, you get the most out of every single player. And I think that's what is the upside and what Vrabel is really good at doing.
If you were playing against Patrick Mahomes now, how would you go about it? Because this guy's as good as he is. He's doing the late slides. He's doing the stop right before he gets out of bounds. He's flopping, looking for flags. How would you, Sean Merriman, go about defending Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, it's tough because I think at this point it's so blatant and obvious that it's frustrating people. And I'm not so much concerned or disgruntled about the refs. The refs are going to do what they're going to do. What I don't like is Patrick Mahomes complaining and looking for a flag every time he's touched or something happens he don't like, right? And he pulled up two feet within bounds and got pushed outside of bounds and looking for a flag after. Come on, man. Like, you're getting to the point where, what I hope that don't happen, he's being known as this guy and not the great quarterback that he is. You don't want to put yourself in that category where now you become the complainer. Now you become the whiner. Because that kind of it really brings you down and takes away from the greatness, which he is. There's no doubt about it. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback we've seen, in my opinion, since Tom Brady. I really do believe that. But also, too, you don't want to be labeled as this guy that's complaining. If the refs want to throw flags and give you guys a new set of downs or give you penalties or flags that you don't deserve, that's one thing. Put it on the refs. But we're starting to see him now get up and complain after every time that he's touched or hit something he doesn't like. You don't want to be known as that guy.
Sean Merriman, former Chargers linebacker, joining us here courtesy of Bet Online. Who was the worst whining quarterback during your playing days?
Tom, for sure. No, just joking.
It might have been.
You know,
that's not a bad answer.
That's what it looked like from the outside looking in, yeah.
No, you know, Tom was actually a lot tougher than people said. He's even advocating now for the defense. If you see a lot of his interviews and him talking, he's advocating for the defense side of the ball. There was a time I hit Tom in 06 when we played these guys at home in San Diego, and I hit him from the blind side, and I literally thought Tom's head rolled off. I thought his helmet and his head rolled completely off. And, you know, I remember him getting down. He made this loud grunt noise. He got up, looked at me, and walked back to the huddle and just marched down the field. He's a tough guy at heart, but I think the NFL has gotten to a way where you want to start protecting your stars. Ever since when he hurt his knee, I believe, and it was in 08, 07, 08, whenever he got hurt, that, you know, 08, that's when everything changed because now you got the biggest name, the most known face in all of the sport out. And I think that it started to take a shift around there. And I'm not saying that it was Tom's fault. I think the NFL realized that, hey, this is a big business and we got to protect these guys by any means because we can't have a Tom Brady missing any time for something happening like this. So the game, I believe, at that point started to change from 09, 010, 09 to 2010. I think that things really started to take a turn to protect quarterbacks.
Did you have a favorite quarterback to hit? Was it Brady? Was it Peyton Manning? Was it somebody else?
Yeah, it was always Tom. Tom is always the guy that got me up, that made me want to go because, you know, even now, I was doing the NFL Network, I think, about a month or two ago before I came up. They were showing me sacking Tom Brady multiple times, right? And so when you have these big games against the great ones, you always get remembered up there. So when they talk about the greatness of these quarterbacks, I know I got them all, right? I got Peyton Manning 2-3 times in the game. I got Tom Brady's AFC Championship game multiple times. And so I've always was told, even as a kid, if you want to be mentioned up there with the greats, you got to get after them pretty well. So it's always – Tom will always be at the top of my list in all those conversations.
What does Mahomes have to do to catch Tom Brady, pass Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time? What does he have to do?
Well, he's going to have, if he wins this game, he goes to Super Bowl and wins again, he's going to have a one-up on Tom because no one's ever done a three-peat. That's one. So he'll have that in his back pocket. I think he's already on the way, and I think he's in the conversation. Not because I think that he's going to win six or seven Super Bowls. I think he's going to win a few more at least, no matter what. But Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, like all those, the nucleus of guys got to stay together in order for that to happen. And I believe that's why the Patriots won for so long. A good group of their guys for the most part, especially early on in those championship years when they had Teddy Bruschi and they had Willie McGinnis and Vincent Wilfork. Like, they had a nucleus of guys that stayed together that allowed them to win multiple championships. So that's going to have to happen with Patrick in order for him to be mentioned up there and possibly surpass Tom at some point.
You know, last thing for me, Sean, I remember this is going back years ago, so maybe this has been squashed, but do you still have an issue with CM Punk at all?
No, we squashed it.
Okay. I know, because I remember, because then you guys were on a reality show together too, right? Weren't you on MTV Challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. We did the challenge, and we squashed it. I thought, you know, so that whole thing, I think, was set up for us to go at each other, which we didn't know, because when I signed on to do the challenge, I didn't know that he was already on the show. They knew it. They Got knew it. That he was there and we had a problem, right? And so that thing was manufactured. But anyway, I think he's probably going to go down as one of the best to do it in WWE and as such a big name and pivotal in the sport of WWE, as you guys know, that I've worked with and actually been involved with over a period of time, too. So
very good.
Well, I'll tell you what, they know what they're doing. When those producers,
the
they know
is good stuff.
They
right?
know what they're doing, drumming up the controversy. Uh-huh. Sean Merriman, former Chargers linebacker, we appreciate the time. Check out all the latest Bet Online AFC, NFC title game lines, props, Super Bowl futures, and look ahead lines for all four potential Super Bowl matchups. Sean, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Make sure you guys download Lights Out Sports TV as well, my free ad-supported all-sports streaming platform. We got the East-West Shrine Bowl practices this weekend starting Saturday. 100th annual East-West Shrine Bowl to be live exclusively on Lights Out Sports TV. So, guys, make sure you download Lights Out Sports TV. We're on every smart TV, iOS, Android. But it's going to be a big, big weekend of college Shrine Bowl.
Okay.
Very good.
We'll get our scout on Lights Out TV. Sean, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it.
All right. Sean Merriman. Shrine Bowl. Patriots coaching staff was
all over it last year.
Was it last year or was it 2 years ago? They basically were the whole coaching staff at the Shrine Bowl.
It might have been Bills last year, actually. I don't think it was this year, right? Because most of the players come out of the Senior Bowl, but they were at the Shrine Bowl.
Correct. They,
they had that, the market.
Oh, you're right. No, it was 2 years ago because it was still Bill. You're 100% right. Because, Bill always had to outsmart everybody. Yeah. No, you don't want the good players at the Senior Bowl.
No.
You want Pop Douglas in the sixth round. Nice enough player,
but how about that?
He's at the Shrine Bowl.
Sean Merriman, big fan of Mike Vrabel. And he's like, I would have kept Mayo, but... He's like, Vrabel.
That was a quick pivot. Yeah, I would have kept Mayo, but you got to get Vrabel.
That's just linebackers looking out for other linebackers, I think.
So Vrabel was doing the lights out.
I would assume he would, yes. I feel like it was a Harrison thing,
okay,
too.
I think Troy Brown led the charge, if I remember correct. I think Troy Brown...
Probably.
For as mild-mannered as Troy Brown was, I think that was a personal pet project of Troy Brown, I think. That's my recollection.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong about that.
I'll try to find it.
But that was the Marlon McCree game where Brady got picked, Brown stripped it back. I mean, they end up winning a Super Bowl that year.
Right.
Which, or getting to a Super Bowl. I guess you would have had to get past the Colts. You're up 21-3. But that's a play, if that were in a championship year, that would live on much more than it does. That Troy Brown strip of Marlon McCree.
That was unbelievable. Yeah, that was insane. That was another game they should not have won. But, I think I remember more vividly Rodney Harrison doing the Freddie Mitchell bird flap against the Eagles. That's more of a memorable taunt than those guys doing the lights. But the lights out one was big.
Oh, it was.
Because those Chargers teams were good. They were never good enough to beat the Pats, but they played them, at least twice? Back. They played them in 06 and 07 in the playoffs.
They played them in 07 in the championship game, AFC championship game. Brady, we talked about this yesterday, Brady played horrible in that game. And Rivers is on one ACL. I'm never a Phil Rivers guy, but that was an impressive performance.
Well, it was Philip Rivers playing with one ACL, and then the flip side was LaDainian Tomlinson crying on the bench, or not crying, but just like pouting with a jacket on and like the hood up.
Yeah, refusing to go in the game.
Not going in the game.
What it was.
But those were good. I like those Chargers teams because didn't they? They would always beat Peyton Manning. Like either the Patriots would beat Peyton Manning or they would lose, or the Chargers.
The
would
Ravens,
beat
the Chargers, those teams would knock out Peyton Manning and then,
They had a nice little burst though because there was 06, they were 14-2, the Chargers were. And then 07, they played the Patriots in the conference championship game.
No, those were super talented teams.
Yeah, right. Phil Rivers, LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates.
But they didn't know how to play. They were poorly coached. They didn't know how to play. I mean, that was like peak, believe in Bill level stuff because they were out coaching Marty Schottenheimer and the Chargers.
Marty Schottenheimer and the Norv Turner. Because, Marty Schottenheimer, after 14-2, they got rid of him.
Yeah, they're like, no good.
Norv Turner.
Can't fire Mayo after 1 year, but Norv Turner, 14 wins season, 14-2, they fired that guy.
Yeah, Schottenheimer.
I'm sorry, other way around. Schottenheimer, and they brought in Norv Turner.
What a time.
He said he thought he knocked off Tom Brady's head.
And they got right back in there. That is true. Like, that is one thing that
Brady was ridiculously tough. He didn't maybe understand our question, but it just seemed like Brady whined a lot. He was very tough, but he also would whine to the officials.
Both things can be true. You can get the.
I think Mahomes is tough.
Yeah.
he cries to the officials, but I think Mahomes is super tough. He plays through a bunch of stuff.
Well, yeah. I think we sort of took for granted for 20 years how durable quarterbacks are, because they're not as durable as Brady. Brady would get hit. The Nate Clements hit against Buffalo early in his career, he got destroyed. That guy would be thrown out of the league now for a hit like that on a quarterback
that. And Brady, it might have been in another interview with Cowherd, and he just said, we played it earlier in the show, but you know, Brady said offensive players need to protect themselves. He cites that hit as the point where he said, I came back to the huddle and guys were like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Not crying to the refs, not questioning Clements or anybody on the Buffalo side. Brady said he came back to the huddle.
Yeah.
And guys were like, "What? You need to get down, dude. Like, this is not high school. It's not college. Get down."
And so since Brady has left, look at the group that they've had. Mac Jones has missed games due to injury. Drake May left twice. Even the season Brady was suspended, Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. Jacoby Brissett played through an injury. Like, every quarterback that has replaced Brady in a fraction of the time has missed games. So that's another thing that, like, add that to the list, and maybe that's something, I mean, a lot of it is just in the player, but maybe that's something Josh McDaniels can also help coach up Drake May on. It's like, look, you're also going to have to protect yourself more than anything else.
Yeah, I don't want them to stop May from running, but I do want them to teach May how to protect himself.
Yeah, that's what I think, like, Josh Allen.
And if McDaniels can do that, then credit to McDaniels. That's something that I would give him credit for coaching up a young quarterback if he can do it.
I think Allen and Herbert, two guys that he was compared to coming out of college, are probably two guys to look at. Like, they're big, they'll run when they need to, and they play.
Yeah. I mean, McDaniels was the play caller when Brady tore up his knee. The only time Brady got hurt, McDaniels was here, right?
Yeah, because that was the Castle.
Yeah, but there's no Bernard Pollard in the league right
that's
now.
That's true.
No, that's true. But actually, there is.
If you want to
talk Kirby Joseph?
No. Who's the maniac that hit Trevor Lawrence? That guy kind of is like Bernard Pollard.
Al Shire?
Yeah,
something
he
like
kind of is.
Yeah.
He's the president of Bernard Pollard. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so McDaniels was there when Brady got hurt.
Yeah, but he was also there for how many healthy Brady seasons?
I'm just saying. He was also standing in the pocket when he did it. He was there for the only season Brady got hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt two games in on his watch.
Yep.
Jacoby Brissett broke his thumb in like his first game when he was playing. Did he break his thumb against Buffalo, maybe his second game?
Yeah, but he taped it up, went back out there for game four, got shut out. Got shut out by Rex Ryan and the Bills.
I don't know about his toughness factor with some of the coaching up these guys to not get hurt.
Yeah, maybe
know.
That's not his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I don't know that
maybe
that is
more Vrabel. Maybe Vrabel can do it.
Vrabel's got to do that.
That's Vrabel's job.
It's a good call.
He did say he talked to him about like situational awareness and things like that. That'd probably fall under that umbrella.
Oh, that's Vrabel's specialty.
Vrabel's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe less so McDaniels.
I mean, look. And, you know, discussing the coaching staff again when we started the show, when we talk about they're professionals and they know what to expect, you know, some of that is you're not going to say a guy is benched and then he starts. Some of that is all the media stuff that we're talking about, but those are like lesser considerations. You are going to know the situation, down and distance, time of game. Again, the various situational football advantages that the Patriots had for a long time with Bill, and they had them much more when Brady was here. You notice that they weren't as good situationally when Brady left. It's harder to be good situationally.
That
when
is true.
Mac Jones, Cam Newton.
Something happened there.
Bailey Zappi. So Bill wasn't as strong situationally when the quarterback changed. But I do think they'll go back to having a clue in that spot. And when we talk about the experience and we talk about guys who have done it before and guys who shouldn't be surprised by anything, we talked about McDaniel spood feeding the quarterbacks yesterday and not putting too much on a young quarterback's plate. This is another big advantage. These are guys who know what they're doing. They know the situation. They've been there, done that. And they're not going to sit there and flip a coin and change from week to week. And that's what it felt like Mayo did constantly last year, which is a real-time criticism. Mm-hmm. That's not a criticism in retrospect. That's a real-time criticism. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into your thoughts on the Patriots. We'll get back into your thoughts on the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC title game. We've not talked as much about the Commanders and the Eagles in the NFC title game. I'm sure we'll have more thoughts on that tomorrow. Jaden Daniels trying to become the first rookie to get to a Super Bowl. We have our clip du jour at the end of the hour. We'll see what WEI Afternoons have coming up with Fitzy, Hart, and Ted Johnson. But right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
This guy can go pound sand, go back to the
Grab Bag
where no one knew where he was before, and report on nothing because that's what he's going to be doing after this.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Yes, it's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including couple of interviews today. Andrew Raycroft talking bees and Sean Merriman talking football playoffs and Josh McDaniels and everything else. You can check out both those interviews on the Odyssey app. Just subscribe to the Jones and Keefe podcast there. Plenty of stuff to get to here, Jones, including more issues with the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler missed the team flight, suspended 2 games. So what is going on with, are they going to just eventually trade him, or are they like so dug in now that we can't give you what you want, so we're going to just suspend you and continue to ruin our season?
So this was going to be my question. I mean, maybe the answer is they're undercutting his trade value. Why suspend him 2 games if you're Pat Riley? Why not just suspend him indefinitely? Yeah. You're like, you're out. You're not coming back anytime soon.
This Heat culture seems to be taking
stay away from the team. Heat culture is not going
to shine
so well
is
right
off
now.
The Heat culture at That's this true. Point. They That's are true. Currently one of the play-in teams. They are the nice. 9 seed in the Eastern Conference.
It's good.
21 up and 21 down for the Miami squad.
Will Jimmy Butler ever be, I don't want to say a relevant player again, but will he ever be, you know, contending for a title? Because we do think of him as playoff Jimmy, which yep. maybe is silly for a guy who's never won.
Probably.
But we think of him as playoff Jimmy. Will he ever be like relevant in a championship run again?
I say yes. I think he goes to another team somewhere where he's one of these guys who's probably like the fourth best player on the team, and he'll have a game or two in the playoffs where you're like, oh, hell yeah. And then, you know, be pretty ineffective in the other games.
I just don't know where who's he going to?
Yeah, he's a weird style in today's
Phoenix
NBA.
Just loading up on
Phoenix
first round
is
picks.
Good point, Nick. Phoenix just made a trade the other day for first round. It was like pick. They were swapping picks and future yeah. picks, but yeah, they're loading up for something. You want Jimmy Butler with Durant and Booker?
What about the Rockets?
I mean, he's a that might fit Udoka's style of play. That's a fair
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
and they could use some scoring. They're a good defensive team.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good one.
Oh, so Brian just put up in the Twitch chat, is that or in Twitch and YouTube. Were those his shoes he was wearing the other night?
I guess.
Last time he played, he was wearing Phoenix Suns shoes.
He's got Suns. Those are.
Those are like Suns sneakers.
Fire shoes. Those are. That's a
I
nice
mean,
looking
literally
shoe.
Fire.
Didn't people. Is this a dangerous game to play? That is true. It's literal fire.
Are those not Kevin Durant shoes?
Isn't this a dangerous game to play?
Maybe they are.
Were people
know.
Doing that with Shadur? Going into the final week of the year, like Shadur in his bowl game or whatever was wearing like Giants color cleats. People were like, he's going to the Giants.
What sneaks was he wearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Are those KDs?
I don't know.
Couldn't speak to
I'm
it.
Not, I'm not.
They, are, they got like a
I'm not a sneakerhead, Keith. I'm no. not a sneakerhead. I'm not up on the shoe game.
You know what shoe I had back in the day? This is an ugly shoe, but okay. I kind of liked it. The Air Bacons. Remember those?
I do remember those.
They looked like they were just like orange and red or whatever, and they had like yellow laces.
Uh-huh.
I want to say like Mitch Richmond maybe wore them.
Oh,
I don't know
somebody
who had
that
them.
Wasn't just like a shoe for high school kids. That was somebody in the NBA wore
it
those.
It was like middle school, I think it was. Yeah. I think we wore them in middle school. The Air Bacons. They like didn't go with any uniform, but they popped.
I had Larry Johnson Converse React.
Nice.
Oh hell yeah, well, Grandmama.
That's like a highly sought after shoe.
Remember the episode when Grandmama went on Family Matters?
Yeah.
And he and Urkel just like took it to everybody in 2-on-2.
Urkel was nice.
Urkel could play a little bit.
Are you thinking about
not
Stephon Urkel?
No, I think Urkel.
No, you're thinking of Urkel.
No, I think Urkel.
Urkel was nice.
He was nice. He could play.
I mean,
Grandmama obviously carried the team, but
I had a pair. This is after high school. I bought myself a pair of Starberries.
What are you gonna do with those?
They weren't nice. Those
broke
right.
pretty quickly.
They were very affordable.
$15.
Yeah, no, they were nice. Got a Stephen Berry's. You remember Stephen Berry's? I bought a pair of Stephen Berry's.
LeBron,
I don't believe are still intact anymore.
One of the many reasons I don't like LeBron James is he ripped the Starberry's when Starberry came out early in LeBron's NBA career.
This is why you don't like LeBron.
It's one of the reasons. Sorry, LeBron. Not everybody can afford $150 shoes. So if they want to have $15 shoes like their favorite NBA player, I don't think that's a bad thing. He's like, I'd never be caught dead wearing those Starbursts.
I also had a pair of Adidas T-Mac 1s.
Oh, T-Mac had a nice shoe.
You got nice shoes over there. Nice shoe collection,
nice
Bill.
Nice kicks.
Problem is I had to go Converse and Adidas because my feet don't fit in Nikes.
Got it. A little wider fit.
Yeah, they're made for tightrope walkers.
All these ballerinas wearing these Nikes.
I got a special order, extra wide. I guess Nikes.
Oh. Yeah.
Huh.
The tough thing about Nike is they sponsor a lot of athletes that I don't love.
Yeah.
It's like LeBron, Giannis, Durant.
Yeah, sure.
It used to be Kyrie.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, where do I? I mean, they got Tatum, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta separate the artist from the art is what you gotta do.
Give me like the old and-ones. Give me something like that. That's a real ball player.
Starberry. That's what you want.
Starberries are good.
The world is a grab bag.
Jacksonville Jaguars have fired general manager Trent Baalke. Just when things are starting to heat up here in the coaching race, they're like, oh, yeah, we'll get rid of this guy now.
Nice work.
They held on to him.
Basically, a bunch of people said no, the latest being Liam Cohen, who's going back to the Bucks, and they're finally like,
we'll get rid of him now.
We got to fire Trent Baalke, when everybody all along was like, you got to fire Trent Baalke. That's another GM, by the way, fired.
Here's my guess.
Elliot Wolf's still here. That's another GM fired. I was told you don't fire the GM before the draft. That's another GM fired.
Shad Khan, this is my guess. Shad Khan was saying, all right, look, I don't really know what I'm doing. Trent, you help us hire a coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay. Every coach came in and Shad would be like, what would you do? And he's like, get rid of Trent Baalke. And he's like, all right, I've heard enough.
Yeah.
We got to move on from Trent Baalke.
So that's no how coach. The meeting went.
Do you have a prediction on Jags head coach? Anybody? Anybody there?
I mean, I saw Saleh's name kicked around the other day. I think Kellen Moore is interviewing there coming up, if I'm not mistaken.
So the Jaguars.
But basically, I don't really like any of these.
Robert Saleh, the top three, according to, what is this, sportsbetting.ag.
Oh.
Robert Saleh.
Don't like it.
Patrick Graham.
Like it even less.
Joe Brady.
That, I mean, maybe that out of those names,
he
I guess that would be
like
my.
Jags hire.
He so does. He
That's
so feels like
go.
A Jags
Joe
hire.
Brady, also the favorite to get the Saints job, according to the same website, followed by Darren Rizzi and Mike McCarthy.
Well, I was just going to say. So
tomorrow
should,
wants Rizzi.
Should the Jags just bring in McCarthy?
That's like a better,
are they going
like,
to do better than that?
They just had Doug Peterson. Isn't that the same guy?
Yes, but are they going to do? They can't do better than that.
No, I guess not. What about Bill Belichick? Raiders head coach, the favorite for the Raiders head coaching job, Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
what do you think of that?
I don't know. I think that it's interesting. It's interesting that both Vrabel and Ben Johnson said no to Brady.
Yeah,
like that. That to me is interesting. Maybe they're really not saying no to him. They're saying no to Mark Davis. But we're sitting here going, Brady's going to get his guy, and if he has to hire 73-year-old Pete,
yeah, that's a weird one.
Not great. By the way, I don't know if this is in grab bag or not. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but Bill did officially sign his contract at USC.
My mom always said. Life was like a box.
Grab bag.
Never know what you're going to get.
Is that next?
Bill Belichick signed his contract at North Carolina yesterday, officially.
Well, we did. We did have that earlier in the show. I didn't know it wasn't really something piling up in grab bag. I was just reiterating my mistake.
Grab bag.
Cowboys hiring Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive coordinator for the last couple of years. Also an uninspired hire.
Yeah, that's
a weak hire.
That's the worst hire.
Brian Schottenheimer?
No matter who the Jaguars hire, that's worse. No, it doesn't matter who they hire.
Yeah, I don't know.
If the Jaguars hire Patrick Graham, I like Brian Schottenheimer less.
I thought they might bring Kellen Moore back. I also thought there was an opportunity maybe for Deion Sanders.
That's what I thought.
That was high risk, high reward.
That one blows up in my face. I've been championing Deion coming back to the NFL. If he's not going to the Cowboys, I don't know where he's going. That's as uninspired as you get.
Burge.
They wanted to keep McCarthy.
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying.
Grab bag.
No, I thought they were going to keep McCarthy. They wanted to keep McCarthy.
Yeah, but he didn't have a contract.
Then they
like
just
Brad
promote
Marchand.
His next guy. That doesn't doesn't make a lot of sense.
We've been doing so well lately. Let's just try to keep everything in-house.
Yeah.
So that's obviously not going great.
Yes, together we will make America
grab bag
again.
Nice. NFL MVP finalists for the AP. Three finalists. And they are Josh Allen.
Good.
Saquon Barkley.
Nice. He's
Lamar
in the top three.
Jackson.
I didn't realize Barkley was in there. Those are the right three, I think.
Top three guys.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
You're Lamar?
Still going with Lamar. It's a regular season award, folks, before you send your letters.
Yep.
It's a regular season award.
I'm still going Allen. They owe him one. And he
That's
did
not how this works.
He did more with less. Lamar had the most help of his career, so I would go that way, but good.
Also had a great year.
He had a good
year. Nice year.
And
spinning it.
Pretty nice.
More yards, more touchdowns, fewer picks.
Less wins, more help.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach.
Good news, Cleveland Browns fans. Kevin Stefanski is taking over play calling duties once again for 2025.
Was he calling him last year? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I thought he had it, but the headline was he's taking him back.
He's keeping him.
He's keeping him in 2025.
He is maintaining play calling.
They just promoted Tommy Reese, who we thought the Vrabel liked, so he's going to be there, but he's going to be like the Alex Van Pelt of coordinators.
Yeah.
Have him call him plays.
He'll be the OC, not the play caller. That's another sign that like Vrabel's handpicked guy, as you just said, Tommy Reese, probably wasn't the greatest choice. There's not many guys I would take McDaniels over, but Tommy Reese was one, and I think we were right about that.
Grab bag. The 97th Academy Awards, also known as the Oscars, announced their nominations for this year. The award show will be held on March the 2nd, but the nom-nom-noms came out earlier today. The 10 nominees for Best Picture.
Why do they do this?
They want more eyeballs on it. They want to throw a bone to a couple of movies that people have actually seen rather than just nominating five that nobody's seen, is my guess.
But they think nominating 10 brings more people in to watch?
Brings the milk, like a milkshake, it brings all the boys to the yard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's 10 movies?
It's been 10 for a little while. It goes back several years where there's been 10. Here they are.
Let's tear that down. Yeah.
Alphabetical order.
Okay.
Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. Now, every year, it's like a real fool's errand. I do try to watch every nominated movie so I can rank them and have my opinion before the big show. I have seen half of these. I've seen 5 out of the 10.
Okay.
So I got a little work left to do. I saw Conclave. It was fine. It was like, you know, picking the next Pope movie. Really good acting. Ray Fiennes, that one.
My father-in-law, I didn't realize that's that movie. My father-in-law mentioned this to me. Yes.
It's on Peacock now if anybody wants to watch it. Okay. Stiz liked it. Dune Part 2, which I loved, is an incredible movie. Emilia Perez, I've seen, is on Netflix. It is a musical in Spanish, so I don't know if it's for everybody. The Substance, this is the horror movie with Demi Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. It's on a streaming service called Mubi. Which nobody has.
No.
Nobody would want.
This is a reason to get it.
I grabbed it.
I do like Demi Moore.
How about this? Look at this play by me. Free 1 week, canceled it immediately after watching the movie.
Good work.
Free movie I watched.
That's
and then Wicked.
An oversight by you, Mubi.
Wicked also got nominated, which I did see.
Okay.
Best actor, Adrian Brody in The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet in A Complete Unknown. That's the Bob Dylan movie.
Uh-huh.
Coleman Domingo in Sing Sing, Ray Fiennes in Conclave, and maybe a bit of a surprise, Sebastian Stan in The Apprentice, the movie where he plays Donald Trump.
Oh, so I was going to ask. So the favorite here is Chalamet, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, or Brody. I think
who won the Golden Globe?
I think they might have both because they split it up into like drama
and
whatever.
Right.
But I think Brody won one of the Golden Globes.
What's the favorite for Best Picture? Emilia Perez?
Yeah, it's got a million nominees. Yeah. I bet it is the favorite.
Okay.
I want to see Anora. I've not seen Anora. I want to see that. Best actress was Cynthia Erivo from Wicked. Carla Sofia Gaston from Emilia Perez. Mikey Madison for Anora. Demi Moore for The Substance. And Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here.
Okay.
So there you go. It's going to be hosted by Conan O'Brien, which I think could be a good. I do like Conan overall.
Has he done an award show?
He must have at one point.
I feel like Kimmel does it all the time. That style of host usually does a good job with these. I mean, Kimmel would be, I think, the top shelf.
Nikki Glaser was pretty good at the Globes.
She was good at the Globes.
But they usually they cut a little bit looser on the Globes. Oscar's a little more stuffy.
A little more buttoned up.
Occasionally, you'll have one actor go on stage and smack the snot out of a presenter.
Occasionally, not often enough, but occasionally that does happen.
That's happened.
It has.
I love all the people that were like, oh, this whole thing was a work. Yeah, because that's exactly what Will Smith's been doing since. The guy's not in it. Like, he's been banished from Hollywood.
It's true.
He's in one movie, and it was because Martin Lawrence was like, sure, they did Bad Boys 3 together. Since then, What's your favorite Will Smith thing since he slapped Chris Rock?
I'll tell you what, I haven't seen Bad Boys 3.
Yeah, me neither, which is a shame because I love the first two.
First two were great.
But I just missed the third one.
Yeah,
like,
well, I'll get around to it.
Like, I'm not going to.
I'll watch that before any of the 10 nominated for Best Picture. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
Is this your
grab bag?
Blurry. Is this your
grab bag?
Blurry.
Look, man.
Dude, please.
Best NBA performers from last night. Mark Williams from Charlotte, 38-9-5.
Nice.
Old friend of the show, Kyrie Irving, 36 points, 9 assists. Eh. Devin Booker, 32 points, 6 assists. DeMar DeRozan, 32 points, 5 boards in a big Sacramento Kings win over the Warriors. But you're probably going to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 54 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and the Thunder win over the Jazz.
Is it too obvious to just anytime somebody scores 50, you automatically got to be player of the night? I mean, is that too obvious?
No, I mean, you put up 5 hams, you're going to get the player of the day.
5.5 almost.
5.5 hams?
I would go SGA.
Congratulations to SGA.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Laskanik.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, we're going with a pitcher, starting pitcher from the right side. He would also hit from the right side if need be.
Okay.
Didn't do a lot of it in his career, but he was
an American League pitcher.
Righty. Well, this might give it away.
Okay.
He played for, are you ready?
Yes.
The Rays, Cubs, Dodgers, Nationals, Tigers, White Sox, Braves, Diamondbacks, A's, Padres, Cardinals, Marlins, Blue Jays, Orioles.
He was a starting pitcher, you said?
That's right.
Or just a pitcher?
Rich Hill.
Great guess.
That is a great guess.
Lefty, though, right?
He's right.
Right.
412 games pitched, 318 as a starter. So, okay. I mean, he's a starter. He's a one-time All-Star.
Oh.
He played for the entire Major League.
Rolando Araujo.
It's not good one.
He played here, didn't he?
Yeah, sure he did.
Yeah, I didn't hear the Red Sox.
So. Oh, yeah, this guy didn't play for, he played for everybody but the Red Sox. Another way of looking at it.
Rich Hill.
Yeah.
Everybody. Well, good point.
Everybody but the Sox. Career 4.78 ERA.
Oh, boy. Where was the bulk of his career? It's hard to say. A year with everybody.
Rays and Cubs.
Yeah. So I know we've had this guy before. It's not Steve Traxel. We've had Steve Traxel
before.
Don't tell me you didn't look at your...
My spreadsheet?
Yes, thank you.
He played from 2003, was his first cup of coffee as a young gun.
Uh-huh.
And then his last game pitched was in 2019. He was an All-Star in 2009 with Detroit. With Detroit, he was an All-Star.
Annabelle Sanchez.
Wow, great. No. That's not it?
No, it's not Annabelle Sanchez.
That's a great guess.
No, that is a good one.
He played for the Red Sox, though, didn't he?
Or he was a prospect traded. I don't know if he ever played for the Sox, but he definitely was traded by him.
Annabelle Sanchez was, yeah. He was in the Beckett trade, Annabelle Sanchez.
Yeah. Might have been.
You see it in Twitch chat? See it in the text line?
Yeah, Twitch chat definitely has it. Text line, don't see it.
I was going to say, it's not James Shields. Text line says James Shields.
He had a nice run.
He did. He was too
Shields
good
for
that.
Decent. It's not Pat Mahomes' dad.
Is it Edwin Jackson?
He got it!
Yep.
I wouldn't have got that.
Edwin Jackson.
Yeah.
So when there was like a month where I did the Immaculate Grid like pretty daily, and Edwin Jackson was like a cheat code because it was like, what guy played for like the Tigers and the Braves? Like Edwin Jackson.
And
he played for everybody.
It just worked out.
Every corner if you wanted Edwin Jackson. Actually, you could only use him once, but still, he was an easy one.
Edwin Jackson, I recall.
He had a good career, but he never was in any one spot very long. It was bizarre.
No, I would say that tracks for sure.
I almost said Fernando Rodney, but then you said starter.
Right.
Because he was on every team under the sun, too.
Rodney's a good one. Yeah, there's a couple closers like that or relievers that played for every team. But Edwin Jackson, I mean, he saw the league. He had to live in every state in the
union.
A lot
of stickers on that suitcase.
Sure
was.
Yeah,
no, that's true. That's for sure true. So you guessed Julian Tavares. You guessed Carlos Zambrano.
Look at that. The AI answer, which has been right. So somebody texts in. They must just ask AI based on the clues. And they said Kyle Farnsworth.
It's a good one.
Not, yeah, but it's wrong.
Well, that was a good guess. Now. Say it again.
Last I saw from
Huge.
Kyle Farnsworth, got jacked
Absolutely
up.
Remember
jacked,
when he spear tackled that one guy like Terry Tate off his linebacker.
Yeah, that's why he had to bulk up. He's probably great. It's tough out here in these streets.
It's true.
So there you go. It's your random baseball player of the day each and every day in the grab bag on Jones and Keefe WEEI. We'll see what WEEI Afternoons has coming up.
Grab bag!
Fitzy, Hart, Ted Johnson. And we'll also get you our clip du jour next.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
All right, time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones, you ready for that?
Clip du jour sounds nice. What's that again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And friend of the show, Andrew Raycroft, joined us this week. Good to have him back. And we discussed, you know, what moves the Bruins possibly could make in the next month and a half or so. But there's one move that he certainly does not want to make.
Who?
Zero? You're not trading Brad Marchand. You know, hopefully get, you know, you gotta work the deadline. You can't trade nine guys for, you know, the rights to 7, 18-year-old kids that are playing major junior in Canada. It just doesn't work like that. So, they're in a spot to still get a playoff push. I know that's not fun to talk about on the radio. It doesn't get clicks, but the reality is they're 2 points out of a player, 1 point out of whatever it is. And if they 35 games left again, they get some health, they get their game back. They're in a position to continue this push late in the season. So there's essentially two deadlines here with the Four Nations coming up. So it'll be interesting if teams really push to get something done before that break. And the Bruins have 8 games before that. Or if everyone in the league stands pat and waits till the March 7th date. So that's what's interesting, if teams are making moves or going early, or if the East is just so logjammed that everyone just kind of stands pat.
You know, a week ago, Cam Neely was talking about that they have to probably pick a path one way or the other. He wouldn't commit to one, and that was when they were in the playoffs.
Right.
Now they're out of the playoffs.
They were in a much better spot.
So, I mean, Razor can be much more optimistic than we are. It doesn't have the feeling of a playoff team.
No.
It's almost like if they are going to be a playoff team, everybody around them needs to fall apart, which I guess is possible. Like tonight, big swing game. So Ottawa,
huge.
Same number of points as the Bruins with 2 fewer games played. So if the Bruins can win this one in regulation, I mean, that you know, it doesn't make the season. But all I'm saying is, like, that's a big difference than, say, you lose in regulation, or like the recipe from a few nights ago where you cough it up and you end up letting them get in overtime, and then now you're both getting points and now there's really no separation at all.
I don't like the insinuation from Razor about the clicks. Oh, I forgot about that.
Well,
it's not as interesting to talk about the trading away or keeping Brad Marchand.
A playoff
push would be plenty interesting to talk about if the team could make
one. Yes, I think he's selling himself short. If he came on and was like, this is a playoff team, then they get some clicks there, too.
I don't like the insinuation there, Razor.
Well.
You know what gets clicks? NFL playoffs. WEI's coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. What's coming up today, Hart, on WEI Afternoons?
What'd you say, jackass?
Oh, boy. He doesn't see, if you missed it earlier, Jones took a shot at Josh McDaniels wearing visors.
Well,
he also decided to take a shot at Andy Hart.
Yeah, I wasn't
visor.
Here, wasn't
we
listening.
We were doing pros.
I was just showering away.
Well, I don't appreciate
washing
that
all
either.
The parts.
So yep. we were doing pros and cons of the new coaching staff, and I feel like Josh McDaniels with a visor is a con.
So you
Andy,
don't like
Andy Hart
Super
and
Bowl winning offensive minds.
LPGA golfer. No, not him.
You ever hear Mike Martz? You ever hear Doug Peterson? You ever hear Steve Spurrier?
Yeah,
some of the great.
I wouldn't hire any of those
guys. You ever hear Lane Kiffin? That's a list of elite offensive minds. Some of the greatest minds offensively of the last 25 years.
Would you hire Mike Martz
right now?
I love Mike Martz is awesome.
Not
give me
now.
Steve
old ball coach.
Dead. Give me old ball coach.
Last I saw him, he was very swole.
What do you want? NFL.
Take him up. Get him in here.
You want
Steve Spurrier, national title.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Good
NFL Mike Martz.
Yeah, great one.
World title.
Bring
Josh
Chip Kelly
McDaniel,
to the NFL,
world
too.
Titles. Yeah. Chip Kelly was the hottest commodity in college football for a while.
Was.
Lane Kiffin won everywhere he's been.
My Nana when she was on the golf course.
If you put a visor
keep
on.
Visors.
You kick ass offensively. Well, it is a scientific fact.
You're going to have to kick ass.
We did have a sub question that we'll delve into a little bit at some point with Ted Johnson, because he asked,
what's your favorite sub? That's a good question.
No, well, we could.
Ooh, meatball.
Ted Talk.
Maybe meatball.
I like an Italian.
Buffalo chicken, actually, for me.
Okay. Buffalo chicken, very, very good.
It's
very
fantastic.
Underrated sub with a little dipping of blue cheese. You can dunk in every bite.
I like it in calzone form.
That's good, too.
Buffalo chicken calzone, phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, pretty much. Buffalo chicken, anything.
My sub
wing,
has baked.
Pizza,
sub, agreed.
Calzone,
all
dip.
Good. Anything buffalo.
Buffalo
anything.
Chicken dip is phenomenal as well. Anyway, the subtopic was, what do you have more faith in? Visor guy or backward hat guy?
Ooh, Cowherd.
Matt Patricia, backward hat guy.
Cowherd has a good bit going where he doesn't trust anybody with backwards hats.
Other than Ken Griffey Jr., it really goes south quick.
I'm backwards hat over visor.
I wear backwards hats.
Walk over the top.
But you like Dan Quinn more than you'd like?
More than Mike Martz, yeah.
No, I understand I'm too old to do it.
The guy who loses Super Bowls as opposed to the guy
Mike Martz
wins
lost a Super Bowl.
Didn't he win one?
Yeah, as an offensive coordinator, not as the head coach.
He wasn't the head coach when they won that?
No, it was Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil won that? Oh, yeah. Okay, whatever. Still won a Super Bowl.
Whatever.
What's Dan Quinn ever won? Yeah, he could win this year.
He
could
change this
year. Matt Patricia, backward hat guy.
Yep, that's true.
You know what's odd, though, with the... It's almost like a visor because Dan Quinn wears the backwards hat, but it's not a fitted hat, and he's a bald. So there's like quite a bit of just head.
Oh, is there too much forehead over there? Is that what you're saying?
Forehead.
Oh, it's all forehead.
Nothing. But like you could cover it up if you're wearing a backwards hat. You can actually cover it up
or a visor.
Can you
covers it
or
up a visor. Little bit? The brim covers it.
Not really. If you're bald, you're not going to wear a visor. It's not covering anything up. It kind of highlights the fact that you're bald.
It also shows if you have the receding hairline because then that sticks out through the little hole in the visor. And they're
it's a mess.
What are those little patches there on the side?
I got a little too much power alley going on sometimes. Yeah, you'll get that.
That may be a developing issue in the Hart household.
Yeah, you don't want that. So that's WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted Johnson. They're coming your way at 2 o'clock.
You also got Curran and John McClain, 3:30 and 4:30.
John McClain, the Texans writer?
Yes.
The guy from Die Hard?
Nope, not that John McClain. Different John McClain.
Welcome to the party,
Texan, Texans guy. Expert on Mike Vrabel was with him in Houston.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Also does radio in Nashville, so he has the Nashville ties to him and probably will explain some of these other coaching hires. Terrell Williams, who I don't know a ton about.
And he swears it's a Christmas movie.
Who's he?
Bald it's, man in the visor.
It can't be all. That's Matt Nagy, isn't
that's
it?
That's Matt Nagy.
Is it?
Not,
that is a tough look.
Not all visor guys are good. I mean, there's a limit.
Yeah.
Not all visor guys are
bald guy
obsessed.
Visor
that's
is
very, very phallic. The longer you look at that. Crossover brought to you by the 99
phallic.
Restaurant. He looks like a...
What does he look like, Jones? Why don't you explain it?
Not the crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. It's here. Prime rib dinner. It's back at the 9. 16 ounces of slow roasted USDA choice prime rib. Yum. Serve with your choice of two sides. Available every Friday at 4 p.m. all day Saturday and Sunday. You gotta love the 9. Stay tuned. Hart, Fitzy, Ted Johnson, Tom Curran, the guy from Die Hard. They all come your way next on WEEI.